Promoting a supervisor is an amazing time. It can really be exciting. And sometimes, there's also a steep learning curve, which is not so awesome for everyone. Luckily, many of the problems we're likely to face are predictable and avoidable. Stay tuned and I'll share some common problems to get out in front of when promoting a new manager or supervisor.
Running a service business can be hard. It is not unusual for business owners in industries like contracting, home repair, auto repair, business-to-business services like janitorial, IT and accounting, and many others to feel overwhelmed by all the priorities facing them at any given time. Between addressing the needs of the customers, managing the employees, figuring out the financials, and getting processes in place, feeling like you're making significant progress on your business journey can be difficult. Welcome to Service Industry Success, hosted by Brian Harding. Each week, Brian will look at real-world strategies for building the business you are dreaming of, while also sharing tactics to get through some of the most frustrating parts of business ownership with a lot more ease. Let's get started.
For obvious reasons, I'm not going to share any kind of personal story about promoting any particular person. That would not be appropriate. But I will say that I've promoted and hired numerous people into leadership roles. And as you can imagine, when doing this, results have varied. Sometimes it goes really, really well. And in one particular case I can think of immediately, again, I'm not going to share any details about this, but in less than 2 days, I knew I'd made just a horrible mistake. And I had to completely unwind hiring this person. In this case, it was a person from outside the company, so not quite the same as promoting somebody. But my point is, it's covered the spectrum. There's people that were promoted that you know, I promoted years ago that are just absolutely thriving. Their careers have taken off and they're doing wonderful things. I'm super, super excited for them. And there's people like the person I was just talking about that a couple days in, I was like, holy smokes, what did I do? So the reason I point that out is in all cases, at the moment I was doing the promoting, the hiring, whatever, was always optimistic. I can't think of a single time I promoted somebody and didn't really have high hopes for them and a sincere desire for them just to crush it. Of course I did. But sometimes, well, it just didn't work out that way. Humans are interesting creatures. There's a lot of peculiar emotions and drivers to navigate, not the least of which is ego. As you know, if you listen to this podcast for any length of time, much of the reason I was such a terrible supervisor when I first started out, I first got promoted into leadership role in 1998, so now 26 years ago, much of my problem was ego. And that's a pretty common cause of many of the problems that we will encounter with people in leadership roles, especially new, especially younger, where they just don't have the history to draw upon. Just understanding the nuance of when to be assertive, when to be more passive, and when to be adamant, when to listen, and there's so many nuances. And so it's a pretty common issue or challenge or circumstance to have to coach people through things. And coaching them through their ego is one of the most common problems right out of the gate. But there's also things to look out for that are more mechanical in nature, like knowing and communicating exactly how we want certain things handled. More on that in a second. First, I want to remind you to try my new group meetings absolutely free. Try them out for free, where you can ask any question about improving your business, your growth, your team, your processes, your profitability. This group is for anyone who has a team of employees that they lead. To try it out at no charge, just send an introductory email to hello@serviceindustrysuccess.com. with the word group in the subject. Once I get your email, I'll send you back a Zoom link for the next call, and you can start moving forward immediately in areas where you'd like to make more or faster progress. Again, a quick introductory email is all it takes to hello@serviceindustrysuccess.com with the word group in the subject. All right, so here's one of the things I think this might be the number one thing out of all the things I'm going to talk about today, and that is we cannot assume that people we promote no strategies that will make them good. I personally don't think anyone is born with all the skills and abilities necessary to be a great leader. No doubt, people can have great leadership characteristics and be naturally gifted with certain leadership abilities. There's no question about that. But I don't think a person can be promoted and absolutely crush it without the benefit of some experience, aka a history of learning from mistakes, or mentorship, someone literally teaching them how to handle certain situations. Again, just take a group meeting. You know, you got, you're trying to lead a group meeting and somebody's being a little obstinate or defiant. How do you handle that? Well, if you absolutely crush that person at the wrong time, you're going to create a lot of problems. If you let yourself get run over at the wrong time, you're going to get a lot of problems. Like just that one instance that we've all, if you've been in a business ownership or team management situation or position for a long time, like you've faced that. And just that's one thing out of many that that person has to learn how to navigate. So I don't think a person can just like be promoted and crush it without the benefit of experience and mentorship. In every case where I thought a person would do really well naturally and I didn't invest the time with them, I was disappointed. And in most cases where I did invest the time to teach actual strategies using the real life situations they were facing day to day, week to week, as examples, they did really well. Now, are there exceptions to both? Of course. There's absolutely exceptions to where I thought people would do better than they did. But generally speaking, the more I left people alone and just kind of left it up to them to figure out for themselves, the worse it was. And I've come to believe, as I've mentioned on here many times before, that the reason for that is most of us would say that, you know, if you ask the average person who's had a 20-year career, what percentage of their bosses were really, really good, the answer is going to be somewhere around 10 or 20% for most people. That means that 80%-ish, maybe 90%, were not so great. So those are the odds we're working with. When we promote somebody, without any help, they're going to have an 80, 90% chance of not being great. Well, I don't want that. I want them to be great because I'm selfish. And the greater they are, the less I have to do things, especially things I don't want to do, and especially things that keep me tied to being at a location instead of doing other things, other places. So I believe the more I can invest in teaching them how to navigate certain situations and know when to be an authoritarian and when to be a coach and like all those kinds of things, the easier their life is going to be, the easier it's going to be for the team, the more congruent the team is going to be, the better the culture is going to be, the better decisions everyone can make, and the more I can be doing other things. So it's again, like many of these things we talk about, it's kind of selfish, my motivations, but I'm just being honest, right? So the first thing is we have to just accept that they're likely to need a fair bit of teaching, coaching, education, and help navigating the situations they're going to face. And some of them are going to face pretty early. They're going to be challenged by people who might be resentful that they didn't get the promotion. They might be challenged by people who think they're too young for this promotion, or they don't get it, or it's not fair. Like they're going to face things within a couple weeks. It'll start, and they're going to need help getting through those things. And the more we just leave them on their own, the less likely they are to be successful, in my opinion. So that's the first thing. The second thing is, I think that one of the things that happens is they almost always think the reason they were promoted is to solve problems, which is true. But here's where it goes wrong. They think that they were promoted to solve problems. Therefore, they can believe that their value is determined by how many problems they solve. And therefore, they're on kind of a hunt to go find problems to solve. And sometimes they will find problems that aren't really problems. And sometimes they'll find problems that aren't really appropriate for them to be finding to solve. And so I will ask them when I promote somebody new a question like, and I'm going to give you a series of questions I asked today. Here's one of the first ones. I like to ask them, like, why do you think you're promoted? what do you think the job is? And sometimes they will say things like, well, you know, solve problems, which again is true. That's a piece of it, but that's not all of it. You know, they also have to understand, like, part of it is to teach people things. Part of it is to be a liaison and for a customer when things aren't going perfectly. Like, it's not that you have to solve anything. It's just the presence of a quote-unquote supervisor lets the customer know that there's a higher level of concern or level of handling the situation. And you don't have to really do anything other than just show up and be the supervisor and let the customer know that you're the supervisor. So sometimes that's all it takes. But in that situation, you don't necessarily have to solve any problems. And they may not get that. And many times they don't. So I just like to ask them, like, why do you think you're promoted? What do you think are the skills that you have that made you a good candidate for this? What kinds of things do you think you have to work on to be a better, you know, supervisor, a better leader? And I just want to start like having conversations about, in general, what do they think the job is? and what makes them good at it, and what are things they might need to work on to get better at it. So that's kind of the beginning. It's just like broad strokes. Like what is the job? What do you think the job is? And most of the time they're going to get that pretty close. But I want to start having a conversation about getting them to understand it's not just about problem solving. There's much more to it than that. We're going to get to more of that here in a little bit. I will also ask things like, what will tell you and me that you're doing a good job? Like, what would we see from the team that would tell you and me that you're doing a good job? What will we see from you to tell you and me that you're doing a good job? And oftentimes, my experience, these are questions that they've never pondered before. They've never asked themselves about this before. They've never asked about somebody else that they worked for, you know, to use that kind of language, or somebody they reported to. Like, they just know that they liked something or they didn't like it, but they haven't really thought about, like, well, what would tell me I'm doing a good job or not? Another question I like to ask is, what are the top 3 to 5 calls, like phone calls, you anticipate getting the most? And generally, it's going to be things like customer complaints, or somebody's not sure how to price something, or there might be some technical help or training that has to happen, or there might be some delays or some kind of logistical kind of help, whatever it is. They will know likely, and you will know likely, what the top handful of reasons that they're going to get phone calls are. But when I ask them, like, what do you think those things are? And then they'll tell me, great, okay. In each of those situations, my next question will be, how will you know when they solve a problem, like you just jump in and put the fire out, versus investing the time to teach the employee who called you how to solve this problem on their own so they don't have to make this call again? What would tell you to go solve the problem versus teach this person how to solve the problem? And again, this is an area where they generally are not going to have answers in my experience. Or they'll like want to think it over, which is great. Let them think it over, come back to you in a couple of days. But I want to begin having a conversation where we are clear on when do you put out the fire and when do you prevent the next fire? Because I don't always want them solving the problem. I don't always want them just putting out the fire. I do want them sometimes teaching the employee how to solve this problem so this next phone call just like this doesn't have to happen. That's way more efficient than having a person who's great at solving problems. But sometimes we don't have the time for that. And sometimes it's not the right situation. Sometimes this is not the right instance to teach somebody. Sometimes the consequences are big. We just got to put the fire out. Do they know when those are? And the answer is probably not until we have a conversation about that. In some cases, you might not know what your answer should be on that. Maybe you haven't thought about that. And that was obviously, that'd be a benefit, is everyone getting on the same page on this stuff. Because I talked about in the opening, like, there's mechanical things that are predictable. This is one of them. Is everyone assuming that everyone knows how we want things handled, and there's never been a conversation about it. And that's, you know, that's prone to creating problems for sure. Something else I would feel like I was flying blind if I didn't know: why do they want this leadership role? Now, almost always people are going to say the money. People, when I say people, I mean the people who were promoted and the people who did the promoting. Like, if I ask most business owners and leaders, like, why do you think people weren't promoted? Almost always their answer is going to be money. But here's the thing. I don't allow money to be the answer. If it is money, it's not about the money. It's what the money buys. What does the money buy this person that they care about? Is it status or stature? They have a nicer house. They like cars. They want to have 20 acres of property in Montana. They want to have a cabin. They want to take care of their parents. They want to put their kids through college. Like, the money is a representation of something else. I want to know what the something else is. So, I mean, everyone wants to make more money. I don't know a single person who says, I hope I make less money in 10 years. So I don't want to get sidetracked with that. If the answer is, like, money really does drive them, which for some people it does, what does the money buy then that they care about? That's what I want to know. And if it's not money, again, I don't know anybody who wants to make less money, but some people are not driven to ascend to leadership roles because of money. They like the status. They like the prestige. They like the admiration of their peers. They like being a person who's known as a person who can solve problems. Again, those are often like status related kind of things. If that's what it is, I want to know that. And why do they want the status? Right? Because I want to know how to motivate this person when things don't go so well. And I want to know how to help them stay on track. Because there's going to be times where they're going to have to do things that are counterintuitive. They're going to have to do things that are uncomfortable. They're going to do things that are make them very vulnerable. And I'm going to expect them to do those things. And I need to know what's in it for them to do that stuff. So again, I want to know, why do they want this leadership role? Because I'm going to remind them of that, whatever that thing is, when I'm asking them to do these very uncomfortable things or things that put them in a situation where they're going to be vulnerable or, you know, have to try new things. You know, there's going to be times like that. And I need to understand what's in it for them to want to do that, because otherwise they won't. They'll default to just standing in front of people telling them what to do, which is not what I want. All right. All right. Quickly, a couple other things I think we need to get out in front of. One is the crab pot theory. I did a whole episode on this early on, but I'll talk about it real quickly here. The crab pot theory essentially is, if you drop a crab pot in the ocean, a single crab can come and go from that crab pot at will. But once you introduce a second crab into the crab pot, if one of the crabs tries to leave, the other one, doesn't matter which one it is, will hold the one back from leaving. And this is the same in human nature. People oftentimes want you to be successful, but they don't want you to leave them. Sometimes they don't want you to be successful and they don't want you to leave them. This happens when a supervisor is promoted out of a pool of people. Some of the people left behind are pissed. They're pissed at themselves because maybe they didn't try hard enough to get the promotion. Like, as they didn't put the work in well in advance of this position opening up. Sometimes they're resentful and they think it's not fair, right? Whatever it is, there's lots of reasons. They're going to not want this person to be promoted and leave them behind. And that is something, whether we like it or not, we're going to have to get in front of in almost all cases. There's going to be some instance of this. So again, if you want more information on that, go back and listen to earlier episodes where I talk about the crab pot theory. It's titled The Crab Pot Theory. It's easy to find it. Similar but different than the crab pot theory is the new supervisor is going to be tested by former peers and or people who wish they had gotten their promotion. They will be tested in public circumstances and they'll be tested in private circumstances, because when a new person is put in a leadership role, that kind of changes the fabric of the universe in our little world a little bit. And there's new boundaries that have to be established and new norms that have to be established. Like, when we do this thing, here's what we can expect from this new supervisor. And there's new norms as far as how the leadership team is going to back that new supervisor or not. And there, all these things have got to be sorted out and tested. And it won't take very long for that to start happening. We better be prepared for that. We had better know how we want those things handled, and we better be able to coach the new supervisor through those kinds of things, because those situations can get volatile pretty quickly. I don't want that. It's going to happen, though. And they're easy to navigate if we just do a little bit of planning. So that's something I want to get in front of. How am I going to handle self-doubt from this new supervisor? There's many things I'm going to ask them to do. They're just going to flat out think, I can't do that. And I need to get them through that. And the opposite of that, which is, how am I going to handle overconfidence? There's times they're going to wildly overestimate their ability to do certain things or to reach a certain outcome with a strategy they're going to default to, which might in many cases be just telling people what to do. How are we going to handle that? So those things can happen in the same day. They can have absolute self-doubt and absolute overconfidence in the same day on two different topics. I need to know how to handle that. And one of the bigger ones for me is, again, if you've been listening for any length of time, this is not going to surprise you. When is it time to be an authoritarian and when is it time to be a coach? There are absolutely times where both or either is applicable. And they need to know that. They absolutely need to know how to do that in a way that's congruent with how I want things done and how I do things, because the culture needs to grow in a congruent way. That person is not going to be successful if the culture is such where, generally speaking, the leadership team is coaching folks, which I would lean toward, as you know, and this person comes in there like wild, wild west and they're the authoritarian. Like, that person is just not going to fit in and they're not going to make it. We owe it to them to help them be successful. This is one of the critical things they need to understand is, are you being intentional about when to be an authoritarian and being intentional about when to be a coach, or are you just letting your emotions of the day dictate? Because one of the worst things we can have happen is the mood of the company and the mood of the crew and the mood of the people in the office and whatever is dictated by whether or not this person had a fight with their wife that morning, or if she had an argument with her kid that previous day. Like, that, those things should not be what determines how the mood is. Like, we need to be intentional about these things and we need to have strategies we're using and know when the right one to use is. So these are easy things to get out in front of. We just need to, and again, these aren't even time consuming. Most of these things you could handle really, really quickly, but we need to take the time to do it, because, you know, promoting someone can be a key to getting more freedom for me. Again, I'm a selfish guy. I want freedom for me. it's a vital part of it is promoting people. And it's a start of a wonderful career for the person who's getting promoted. These are awesome things. And simultaneously, there's a number of things we better get out in front of if we want this person to truly be successful. We just have to do it before they become a problem. Because once they become a problem, they're way harder to unwind. Don't forget to try out my new group meetings absolutely free, where you can ask any question you have about improving your business, your growth, your team, your processes, your profitability. Just send a quick introductory email to hello@serviceindustrysuccess.com with the word group in the subject. Once I receive your email, I'll let you know the upcoming dates. You'll pick one. I'll send you the Zoom link for that call, and you can start moving forward, making immediate progress in areas you'd like to move in a little more, a little faster. So as always, if you find the information I share helpful, please share this podcast with a friend or colleague you think can benefit from it. Of course, public sharing is also appreciated, but hitting that little button and like sending it to a friend, maybe you know somebody who just promoted someone, send this episode to them. It'd be, you never know how you might help somebody out and make their day a little bit easier. So, that's it for this week, and I'll see you all next week.